Thompson running the floor, and a foul. And Thompson grabs his left knee, now writhing in pain. Steph Curry slamming the ball on the court, so upset. Green went up to block it. Some of the players saying something. Danny Green saying, I'm just trying to block the play. Lowry between the legs, drives inside, falling away, puts it up, bounces and drops through. Another bounce for the Toronto Raptors. An NBA championship on the line. Iguodala throws it to Green, who catches it, back to Curry, puts up a three, won't go, rebound Cousins, deflected, picked up by Leonard, ball still loose, they dive on it and try and call time, and a timeout call.
So it's a technical foul.
They had no timeouts remaining, so a technical foul will be called on Golden State. Leonard makes it official, now the Warriors just inbound and that's it. There's a new NBA champion, and it's a team from Toronto, Canada. We the North are now we the champions, the Raptors, the 2019 NBA champs.
Good morning. We have lost our national sport to Canada on Friday, June 14th.
Now, this is, Jason Nesmith was a Canadian.
He was.
He did. He came to America, but he was Canadian.
This is what they must have felt like in England back in like the 1950s when the South American team started winning the World Cup. We have lost our national game, folks. We have lost what is rightfully ours.
Yeah.
We have lost what
there's
is ours.
More, there's a lot more racism wrapped up into it back in those days.
Yeah.
That was a loss of a whole lot more in the minds of those old folks. So this doesn't, we don't have that at least, I would hope. It was, I'm sitting here and I'm telling you, I'm ready after years and years of hatred and watching this dynasty and seeing how they've lorded over everybody else. I'm willing to sit back and embrace Canada. I'll be okay. I'll be fine with Canada. Warriors are still dead to me. The Warriors are dead to me. I have no sympathy or remorse about the way the Warriors have finally gotten bad luck. I feel bad for Klay Thompson personally. I feel bad for Kevin Durant personally.
But not the entity, not the Warriors.
Yeah, like if I'm looking at the Warriors and I'm looking at this dynasty, which, let's be realistic, a mini dynasty. It hasn't even been a decade, not even close to a decade. So this mini dynasty, this very potent dynasty
of the last five years, mini
dynasty. I have no sympathy for the team in as a whole because they've had such good luck with injuries. It's almost like they had all their luck with injuries and then all their bad luck accumulated over the course of several weeks. Yeah, so that's I don't feel bad about that. Now, Klay Thompson, to be 100% honest, I've grudgingly really learned to respect his toughness.
Seth, he was the best player in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
Now, obviously,
so I feel bad for him is my point. I just it's an awful way to go out in the finals.
Kawhi Leonard won the Finals MVP because we're not going to give it to a guy in a losing team. We get that. And Klay didn't play. I mean, he played in five games, but he couldn't finish two of them.
Right.
Seth, Klay Thompson shot 59% from three in the NBA Finals.
Yeah.
59% from three. He shot 55% from the floor. He was absolutely sensational. And I feel like we were, now listen, I think the Warriors would have eventually lost anyway, but we were robbed last night, as sports fans, by not having him finish that game and just seeing what it would have been like.
Right.
Because they were still hanging on for dear life, but they had him and they had Curry and they had Draymond, so it was much more feasible. Where when he went out, I felt like, okay, they could still win this game, but they are going to get annihilated in game seven. So it was almost better. It was almost better they lost last night.
Why do you think they were going to get annihilated?
Because I think they ran out of guys.
Yeah.
Like in game four, in game three.
Wait, are you assuming Klay wouldn't have been able to come back for game seven? Or
he tore his ACL.
No, I know, but you said if he could come back, they would get annihilated in game seven.
No, what I'm saying was since he left that game.
Okay.
And,
all right,
and
okay,
wouldn't come
okay.
back.
Right.
Since he wouldn't come back,
I thought
you were
having
right,
some weird
done.
Fantasy where he came back and then they still got annihilated in game seven, even though he had come back in game six and not played game seven.
I probably should mention that if people are just waking up and
yeah,
seeing
he tore
this.
His ACL last night.
He tore his
Everybody
ACL.
Everybody fell asleep. Klay Thompson tore his ACL. He landed awkwardly.
After a dunk attempt.
And his knee buckled, and it looked like an ACL. When you watch the replay, initially I was like, why is everybody making a big deal out of this? And then you see the replay, and his knee buckled.
Yep.
And then he's running down the tunnel, and I was cringing. Because I've been there before. I've torn both ACLs. And you do feel The one time I did it, I actually felt fine afterwards. Like, I didn't feel fine, but it was like, this isn't all that much pain. I think I can go. Yeah. And then I started trying to run, and my knee buckled again, and I fell to the ground.
Ooh.
So I'm watching Klay Thompson running, and I'm like, that looked like it was probably an ACL or something. Like, so you shouldn't be running.
So you felt like you knew.
Yeah. And then he came out and shot those free throws because I don't want to say that was a smart move. But at that point in the game, if he hadn't taken his free throws, he had to leave the game for good.
So he had to come back just to preserve his right to play.
Right. So I didn't think it was an ACL, but I feared it was an ACL. Obviously, their medical staff knows a thing or two, but they let him go back out there on the court and shoot his free throws, and he came back in the game, and he obviously just wasn't quite himself. So I feel bad for him. Now, as far as the Warriors go, would they have, with Klay Thompson, I've gone so far back and forth on both these teams, and what I've realized is I didn't respect either of them enough. I didn't respect the Raptors enough. Okay. I didn't respect their length, their defense, all of that stuff, not to mention just their sheer playmaking ability. But then I forgot somewhere around games 3, 4, 5, even though I started to predict the Raptors more and more confidently, I forgot about the fact that, oh yeah, over the course of a 7-game series, the Warriors are going to start to figure things out. The Warriors know what the Raptors are doing to confound them and make things difficult, and they're going to start figuring out. And Steve Kerr, I grudgingly give him a whole lot of respect. Game 7 would have been epic with Klay Thompson.
I feel like the best team was the Warriors, but they just lost too many guys.
I don't think that's fair.
Is that not fair?
I don't think that's fair. Well, they lost too many guys. Okay, well, you're talking about Durant?
I'm talking about Durant, yes.
Well, okay, they lost Durant, mm-hmm. is your point. So, yeah, they were the best team was the Warriors, except they lost Durant, but also...
And Klay couldn't finish 2 games. Now, they won 1, and he didn't play in game 3 at all.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that goes without saying that the Warriors were the better team.
Okay,
they didn't have Durant.
I just want to throw that out there and just kind of cast my die and see what the reaction is.
Landry did a good job of showing the stats with... The Warriors with Steph Curry, but without Klay Thompson, they've got this ridiculously good regular season record. In the finals, without Durant, the Warriors have not been very good. They've been a mediocre team in the finals without Durant.
They've been mediocre.
By final standards, they've been like a 500 team without Durant.
Yes.
But they've been very, very good with Durant.
To me, it was unfortunate, as we're discussing on a Friday, Mike and Seth, the Raptors winning the NBA championship. But God, that sounds weird to say. 114-110 at Oracle Arena in Game 6. Of the NBA Finals. I felt like we were robbed of what could have been a really sensational finish had Klay been able to stay in that game, because he was playing so well. He was playing so great that I just wanted to see what it would have been like had he stayed in the game, because they could have forced the Game 7, and I still think they would have lost, but then we would have been dealing with a situation where Toronto would have been suffering from 2 straight, we almost won the championship, and now we've got to go home, and now... So much of the pressure, all the pressure is on us. Yeah. So I felt like we got robbed from that standpoint.
That would have been a whole lot of fun. I'll give grudging credit. This is going to be a day of grudges being forgiven. I'll give grudging credit to Draymond for the entire playoffs, but then especially for forcing that bad pass at the very end, where I, watching in real time, I'm like, how are they not calling this a foul? How are they not calling a foul on this? And then you watch the replay, and you're like, oh my God.
No foul.
Draymond was like 3 millimeters away from him the entire time.
Yep.
Like mirroring him. Like they were tied together with invisible string or something. Like he was a marionette. It was incredible. Like that was an incredible little piece of on-ball defense to force that bad pass.
They forced the turnover.
Grudging respect to you, Draymond.
They forced a turnover to get themselves the ball back, down by 1, and they had a weird inbounds play, they being the Warriors, but they eventually got a shot to Steph Curry, who is now 0-for-8 in basically game-winning shots in the NBA playoffs in the last 20 seconds of a game. It was a great stat that ESPN put up there.
Yeah.
It's the kind of stat that if LeBron had it, there would be like a national inquisition into it. Now, from a Rockets standpoint, looking at everything going on around the NBA, my big takeaway to localize all of this, if I'm Daryl Morey looking at the way that the Raptors beat the Warriors in the NBA Finals, my thought would be this. I need to either have Clint Capela get better, or I need to get a big man who can make plays. That is my biggest takeaway. If you want to, you know, Kawhi Leonard being better than James Harden, that's fine. I can live with that part. But the biggest difference to me between the Raptors and the Rockets is... They have multiple big men who can make plays. They've got Pascal Siakam, they've got Marc Gasol, and I thought Ibaka was awesome in this series off the bench. Now, he's a little bit different, But they have guys as big men who can make plays.
Right.
That's the biggest difference.
In different ways, like the versatility. Like Siakam can kill you in multiple ways,
yeah.
Where Capella can kill you in a couple ways. You know, Capella brings a few very good things to the table, but he does not stretch the floor. He's not going to put the ball on the floor and make Draymond look like an average defender. Like, he's not. Okay, Siakam versus Draymond compared to Capella versus Draymond.
Yeah, big problem.
There you go. People ask, what's the difference between these two? We could talk about a whole lot of stuff, but that's one of the big ones. Your second and third best players on your team can't disappear in a playoff series. It's as simple as that.
I mean,
if Capella's the third best player on the Rockets, please give me more than that versus the really good teams.
Yeah, no doubt. And so many of these offensive plays, I'll come down to, hey, they get the ball out of James Harden's hands, and the big guy has the ball in the middle of the court, and he's got to make a play. So for Toronto, it's Pascal Siakam or it's Marc Gasol. For Golden State, it's Draymond Green. And those guys can dribble, those guys can make plays, and Clint Capella can't. That's a huge deal. That's a huge difference. I look at the last two rounds of the playoffs, and I keep thinking to myself, you know, at some point, they got to get James a big man who can actually make plays.
Mm-hmm.
They got to get James a big man who can actually make plays.
I think all of a sudden now, with everything opening up, with so many variables now that people didn't expect or anticipate a month ago, that Kevin Durant's not going to be a factor most likely for next year, that he might not play at all.
Yes.
Maybe he plays towards the end. That'd be really interesting, too, if all of a sudden he might come back. You know, people come back after Achilles. In basketball, for a big man, it's really, really difficult. But people come back sooner than others. So, but it's a big question mark. Kawhi Leonard, is he staying in Toronto or is he elsewhere? What the hell are the Lakers? All these things that it feels like the possibilities are endless again. I feel like an entire new world has opened up in front of me. Instead of having to worry about one damn team in the Bay Area and how the hell do you climb that insurmountable wall, it's wide open.
It's wide open.
And Daryl Morey, for whatever his faults are, his strengths are certainly figuring out how to wheel and deal in an environment like this. So whether it's Capella, whether it's Chris Paul, whether it's anybody else, if it's mid-level exceptions, I don't care. I feel excited for Daryl Morey all of a sudden, and what might happen over the next 2 or 3 months.